Good evening, everyone. I am Lynn Ormudu. Welcome to Health Chat. The health of women and children is vital to creating a healthy world. However, every day, approximately 800 women die from preventable causes related to pregnancy and childbirth. 99% of these deaths occur in developing countries. In 2012, more than 6 million children died before age 5. 5 million of them died, 5 million of them in the first year of life. On the program today, we will discuss maternal and newborn health, particularly in Africa, and look at what is being done on the ground to address some of these challenges. And my guests today are Taria Adams, Communication and Advocacy Officer with the White Ribbon Alliance, Nigeria. Also joining me from Kampala, Uganda, is Farida Luyiga, Communication Manager for the White Ribbon Alliance, WRA Global Secretariat, and the Communication Officer for WRA Uganda. Both of them will join me in a moment. And then the White Ribbon Alliance is an organization with the goal to ensure that all women realize the rights to safe and healthy before, during, and after childbirth. And we will discuss this topic today on the program. But first, VOA's Lisa Schlein has this report.
UN agencies tracking global rates of maternal mortality found that over the past 25 years, the risk of a woman dying from pregnancy-related causes has been cut nearly in half. But a new report on global mortality rates among maternal women suggests very mixed and uneven results. It shows the Millennium Development Goal of reducing maternal deaths by 75% by the end of this year has only been achieved by 9 countries. Only 2 African countries, Cape Verde and Rwanda, are among them. Lale Say is coordinator for reproductive health and research at the World Health Organization. She says maternal deaths worldwide in 1990 stood at 532,000. She says that number dropped to an estimated 303,000 in 2015.
For every 100,000 live births, there will be 216 women around the world who will die during 2015. This would mean that in 2015, around 830 women are dying from pregnancy-related causes every day around the globe.
Say notes that about 99% of all maternal deaths are taking place in developing regions, with sub-Saharan Africa alone accounting for 2 in 3 deaths. While that number is clearly far too high, she says it nonetheless represents a major improvement from the past. She says maternal mortality rates in sub-Saharan Africa have decreased by 45% from 987 to 546 per 100,000 live births between 1990 and 2015. She says Eastern Asia has made the greatest improvement, reducing maternal deaths by 72% over the past 25 years.
We know why mothers die. They die from severe bleeding, from infections, complications from unsafe abortion, and hypertensive disorders of pregnancy. And we also know that most of these deaths are preventable.
UN health officials say improving access to quality health care with trained health workers on hand during and after childbirth can save many lives. They say women and girls must be provided with contraception, safe abortions, and essential medicines to treat problems that may arise. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that was Lisa Schlein with an overview of maternal and newborn health. Now we will have our guest in a few moments. But first, let's go to South Sudan with VOA's reporter, Ayen Bior.
In 2015, the last year such numbers were available, Sudan had 311 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. When compared to 216 per 100,000 live births globally, that ratio is alarming, according to Stephen Blount, the Carter Center's Director of Special Health Projects.
Sudan has among the highest maternal mortality rates in the Eastern Mediterranean region of the World Health Organization. That's the reason that the government of Sudan, in asking the Carter Center to assist them, asked that our assistance focus on increasing the number and increasing the competency of health workers devoted to improving maternal and child health.
The Carter Center, a nonprofit NGO founded by former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, is working with Sudan's Federal Ministry of Health and the Qatar Fund for Development on a 5-year initiative to increase the skills of healthcare professionals, including midwives, and to update equipment and health protocols in the country. Maternal mortality has improved since 1960, when 744 mothers died out of 100,000 live births in Sudan. Blount says the decline is due in part to increased availability of health care in rural areas.
Another reason that the effort has improved is the availability of treatment, supplies, medications, and so on are increasingly being focused in the rural areas where the problem is the greatest.
The Carter Center says the goal is to train 265 faculty and 10,000 midwives and community health care workers over the next 5 years.
There are four elements of the project. One is to upgrade and modernize the curriculum for the training of those health workers, one. The second is increasing the skills of local Sudanese instructors in these schools of nursing and midwifery. So a train-the-trainers effort so that they can become more self-reliant in terms of teaching and using more modern pedagogical skills.
Blount says improving the learning environment with updated equipment, as well as monitoring and evaluating the program, are two other elements to the project. Under the Carter Center initiative, 50 Sudanese healthcare institutions are expected to improve their ability to train future healthcare workers, with the hope that new curriculum will translate into a marked decline in maternal mortality across Sudan. Ayan Bior for VOA News, Washington.
That was Ayan Bior. And now joining us via phone is Stephanie Bowen. She's Director of Strategic Communication with the White Ribbon Alliance. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Listen, while we wait for Taria and Farida, can you tell us about the White Ribbon Alliance and some of the work that you do? I know one of your goals is really to advocate for safe motherhood and better health for newborn babies. So please give us a sense of what you do.
Sure. White Ribbon Alliance is a global alliance that is made up of maternal and newborn health advocates. It is citizen-led, which is one of the things that I find most exciting. And it's really looking at the challenges that are in specific countries and finding solutions by bringing citizens together with their governments to really affect long-lasting change, both at the policy level and at the implementation level.
All right. So you said something that I think it's really important to focus on. You say it is citizen-led. What does this mean on the ground? How does this translate?
I'm so glad you asked that. It really means that it is the citizens who are determining the priorities, and they are deciding what to do about them. What we do is that we really create relationships between citizens and their government so that together they can come up with the answers for improved maternal and newborn health. And it's what is so, I think, important to know about White Ribbon Alliance is that most of our members across our 14 national alliances have personally been touched by a maternal or newborn death illness, and they understand personally the the ramifications and the heartbreak, both practically and emotionally, of what happens when a mother does not survive childbirth or a child doesn't survive. So they really bring to this the passion, but also the skills and the knowledge of what happens during childbirth in some of these contexts that we heard from both of your reporters in Geneva and Sudan. I think that when you bring together people who have the experience of losing somebody with the government to create the policies and systems that will make things better, it's really a powerful combination.
Yes. So then what is, I know you talked about the different partners that you have. Tell us a little more in terms of how WRA is working on the ground. It is a citizen-led initiative. When you go into a country, where does the process start? Do you have to go through the government, or you work with local NGOs? How does this work?
Yeah, we don't go through the government, but each national alliance is a little bit different. It's really a grassroots movement that's comprised of organizations and individuals who really understand and are passionate about the need for change to make sure that all women can be safe before, during, and after childbirth. And that movement really, it comprises, you know, members of nonprofit organizations. Sometimes it will be someone in the government, a midwife or a health worker, or maybe it's someone in the media who has covered maternal health issues and wants to get involved in a solution. So it's really people coming together throughout different segments of society to make sure that they are pushing the priority of maternal and newborn health. And then what happens is they determine, once they come together, they determine what the most pressing need is. And each national alliance focuses on something different. For example, in Pakistan, they are currently working on a maternal anemia campaign, because that is a big issue in terms of poor health outcomes for mothers and newborns. So they have worked with the education department to ensure that there are proper, that there is good messaging and information that goes into the curriculum for doctors and other health workers studying maternal health, so that anemia becomes part of that. In Uganda, they have determined that teenage pregnancy is a major cause of maternal death and other complications. So they are focusing on ending teenage pregnancy. That's just two examples of the different types of campaigns and programming that our national alliances will engage in. We have a couple others that are working specifically on self-care through a partnership that we're doing with Bayer Consumer Care. And that is really, it's one of the things that is at the heart of what we do. Ensuring that women and families are armed with information about their own health and how they can best take care of themselves during pregnancy and childbirth, and then for the newborn. So there are a lot of exciting things going on throughout the national alliances.
That's very interesting. And you mentioned self-care. What are the particulars of this approach in terms of the way that implementing your program is being done?
Sure. Self-care is it's interesting because it's not one of it's one of our newer campaigns, although it's something that has been around for a long time. Self-care really is about putting women at the center of health and ensuring that they have the knowledge and confidence to direct their own health and the health of their families. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that is so exciting about this work is that it really improves the relationship between a woman and her healthcare provider. When a woman has the information that she needs, she can know what her rights are. She can demand those rights, and she can also take care of a lot of things on her own, thus leaving some of the burden on the health system. And self-care really changes the dynamic of what we typically consider what we see as a patient and a provider. It puts the power in the hands of the woman, and that's really quite liberating for everybody.
That's interesting indeed. Okay, Stephanie, we're going to take a short break, and we will come back and continue the discussion to find out more about what the White Ribbon Alliance is doing. So stick around. Unfortunately, we could not get Taria and Farida. I introduced them earlier, but we're having difficulties with the telephone line. But we are very, very happy to have you, Stephanie, to find out more about the White Ribbon Alliance and the great work that you do. So stick around. We'll be right back after this short break. It's now time for...
Scientists have engineered an antibody that attacks 99% of HIV strains and can prevent infection in primates. It is built to attack critical parts of the virus, making it harder for HIV to resist its effects. The study, published in the journal Science, combines three such antibodies into an even more powerful tri-specific antibody. The researchers say they are more potent and have greater breadth than any single naturally occurring antibody that has been discovered. Human trials will start in 2018 to see if it can prevent or treat infection. The work is a collaboration between the U.S. National Institutes of Health and the pharmaceutical company Sanofi. Health officials in Kenya have issued an alert in Mombasa County in response to dengue fever, a potentially fatal flu-like illness. The county director of medical services is encouraging people to use mosquito repellents and nets. In conjunction to these efforts, chlorinization and spraying are also being done throughout the county in an effort to prevent and control the disease. Dengue fever is transmitted by the female mosquito, which is known to also carry diseases such as the Zika virus and yellow fever. The disease is more prevalent in crowded urban areas with poor sanitation. And finally, scientists warn the rapid spread of super malaria in Southeast Asia is an alarming global threat. They say this dangerous form of the malaria parasite cannot be killed with the main anti-malaria drugs. It emerged in Cambodia, but has since spread throughout parts of Thailand, Laos, and has arrived in southern Vietnam. The team at the Mahidol Oxford Tropical Medicine Research Unit in Bangkok says there is a real danger of malaria becoming untreatable. In a letter published in the Lancet Infectious Diseases, the researchers detail the recent sinister development that has seen resistance to the drug artemisinin emerge. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news. Back to you, Eleanor.
Thank you, Tyra. That was Tyra Allen with the news. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing maternal and newborn health. And our guest, our phone guest, is Stephanie Bowen. She's Director of Strategic Communication with the White Ribbon Alliance. So, Stephanie, when you look at where we were in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, and now that we are moving toward the Sustainable Development Goals, where do you see the pressing needs moving forward when it comes to maternal and newborn health?
That's a great question. We have made tremendous progress since the Millennium Development Goals were first released, and now we have the Sustainable Development Goals. I think that we have recognized, of course, that we have a long way to go, as was mentioned in the pieces at the beginning of the show. More than 300 women are dying every day in pregnancy or childbirth. And I think the SDGs, or Sustainable Development Goals, have really moved in the right direction in terms of integrating multiple efforts so that you have different sectors working with each other to find the solutions. We know that we will not reach the Sustainable Development Goals just by reaching health targets alone. We must work with our partners in education and economic development and women's empowerment and gender equality to make sure that everything that needs to be addressed is coming together in a holistic way. I think that is probably going to be the biggest challenge, because it's difficult for people to see beyond their expertise or their main focus area to be able to bring everything together for progress. One of the things that is very exciting to me about some of the campaigns that White Ribbon Alliance, national alliances, are working on is that cross-sector collaboration. I mentioned the example from Pakistan, where we have worked with the education department. In Indonesia, where they are also soon to be launching a self-care component, they have worked with the Department of Fisheries to ensure that women are getting the right nutrition during pregnancy. In Uganda, they have worked across sectors to, with education and other sectors to ensure that the right kind of information is getting out to adolescents about sexual reproductive health and rights. And in Nigeria, they are working across sectors as well, engaging citizens, politicians, celebrities, and others to really come together and be united around maternal and newborn health. So it's quite exciting to see that happen. I think that we do need to continue to push that cross-sector collaboration and really making sure that all the levers that need to be pulled are being pulled.
Now, one focus of the White Ribbon Alliance is on holding governments accountable and campaigning for them to deliver on their commitments. How do you do that? Is it through the citizens themselves, or do you go straight to them? Government, I mean.
Yeah, it is. It's a collaboration between citizens and government. And, you know, I really love this part of White Ribbon Alliance, and I so wish you were able to speak with my colleagues, Farida Luija from Uganda and Taria Adams from Nigeria, because they are the ones that are really making this happen at the country level. But what they do is one way. White Ribbon Alliance is part of a global coalition called the Citizen-Led Accountability Coalition, and our partners are the International Planned Parenthood Federation, World Vision, and Save the Children. And together with WRA, we share best practices and really come together to understand what works with in regards to citizen accountability. We try very hard and are quite successful in building a positive relationship between citizens and their governments. We hold citizen hearings so governments can hear directly from the people in communities across the country about what their specific challenges are, so that the promises that they have made are able to be upheld. A lot of what I have learned from my National Alliance colleagues is that some countries have wonderful policies on the books, great constitutions that uphold the right for women to be safe before, during, and after pregnancy. But it's really the implementation of that policy and making sure that the services are in place, that's where it gets difficult. And we create a relationship to help governments find those solutions. One small example I can give you, it was in, I'm forgetting the country now, I think it was Malawi. They were finding, you know, people were not, women were not coming in for the antenatal care visits as much as they should. They held a hearing. One of the things that they discovered was that there wasn't a private place for a woman to breastfeed her newborn while she was coming in for her antenatal care visit. So they created one at the health center, and now women are coming, and they're getting the checkups that they and their newborns need. So it's simple solutions, and it's helping the government do what they want to do anyway. I mean, they want to provide these services. They sometimes just don't know how to do it. Okay. So, yeah.
That's interesting. And before we wrap, because we're almost out of time, can you tell us, how do you choose partners, and how do partners join the alliance?
Well, we are always looking for new partners, public and private sector partners. We need innovative partnerships to keep ideas flowing, and I mean, we are, I guess, you know, open to all partnerships. Okay. I think for us, the key ingredient is the country-led initiatives, and if a partner understands the value in that, we're very happy to talk with them.
Great, and Stephanie Bowen, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Great. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Stephanie Bowen, who is Director of Strategic Communication with the White Ribbon Alliance. I am your host, Lenore Mudu. Thanks to all of you who joined us today, all our partners in Africa. I am your host, and with producer Jackson Vunganyi and Tahira Allen with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.